This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where they may live upon the earth. It's also important for all people because the impact of the issues we discuss here at DavidDuke.com are important for all nations and all peoples. Today, I'm going to focus on the problem of Jewish extremism, what I call Jewish supremacism. And that's a big problem, not just for the United States and in our catastrophic participation in the Iraq War and the thrust for war that the government has been making toward Iran. But it's important, obviously, for every other country because every nation and every people are affected dramatically by these policies by the United States government and other governments that are so affected by the Jewish extremists, the Jewish supremacists. It's just amazing to me to see exactly what's happening and the double standards that exist in the Western world. On December the 4th, a huge menorah was erected and lit in front of America's White House. A radical Jewish supremacist organization called Chabad Lubavitch sponsored the menorah, and it was lit by the prominent Jewish extremist and torture advocate, the new U.S. Attorney General Michael Mukasey. In America, you cannot put up a Christian cross on public ground. No symbol representing any aspect of the Christian religion is allowed. Now, this is in spite of the fact that the American population is composed of about 80% Christians. Christian manger scenes, for example, have long been deemed illegal. But while crosses are banned from the White House and any public place, huge Jewish menorahs are going up by the thousands all over the United States, as well as in many European countries. One of the main groups erecting them is Chabad Lubavitch. Now, this is an organization that teaches that Gentiles are a lower and different species from Jews, and that the entire purpose of Gentiles on the earth is only to, quote, serve Jews. You need to read my article on DavidDuke.com on Chabad, and it goes into much detail about this. Menorahs are now erected in the most hallowed places of many respective nations. You can find them in front of many European parliaments and government buildings. A huge menorah is now in front of the White House, and hundreds more adorn government buildings, both state and federal and local, all over America. The menorah is a symbol intrinsic with the Jewish religion, and long before the creation of the modern state of Israel, the menorah was the most common symbol of the Jewish religion. It's been used for centuries as a symbol of Jewish organizations all over the world. Menorahs symbolize what the Jewish religion calls the miracle of the lamps and commemorates the Jewish military victory over the Greeks and the recapture of the Jewish temple, which is now celebrated as the Jewish religious holiday of Hanukkah. The Jewish religion views Hanukkah's meaning as commemorating Jewish resistance to the threat of intermarriage and assimilation. Instead of persecuting Jews, the Greeks of Syria accepted them and allowed them to assimilate. And because of this, the rabbis hated them and waged war against them and massacred them. Hanukkah is used by the Jewish faith as a lesson against intermarriage with Christians. Now imagine for a moment if any Christian politician would condemn the marriage of Christians to Jews, or would suggest that America should not let Jews assimilate into our nation. The fact that Jewish extremists routinely get away with these double standards is only understandable when one recognizes that Jewish supremacy exists in many areas of the American media. They can focus on what they want, hide what they want. When President Bush was campaigning for president in his first election, he was roundly criticized for speaking at the Christian Bob Jones University. It was brought out in the media incessantly, in headlines, that Bob Jones University opposed interracial or interreligious dating or marriage. Bush had to make a servile apology to the Jewish press for his appearance. Yet the very next week, he was speaking before powerful national Jewish organizations such as the American Jewish Committee, an organization that spends millions in opposing intermarriage between Jews and non-Jews. Practically every major Jewish organization in America has gone on record as opposing Jewish intermarriage with non-Jews and has programs attempting to prevent it. Of course, there was no outcry in the controlled press against Bush for speaking at these Jewish extremist groups. And every major candidate for president has to genuflect before the radical, pro-Israel, radical Jewish groups that wield so much political, financial, and media power in America. President Bush learned his lesson, and he helped light the anti-assimilationist Jewish menorah in the White House, the first president who did so. And he was accompanied by members of the Jewish hate group called Chabad Lubavitch. Now, could you imagine President Bush lighting candles in the shape of the cross in a ceremony opposing Jewish assimilation in Gentile society? But somehow there is no problem in lighting a symbol that opposes Jewish assimilation from a Jewish perspective. Chabad Lubavitch is a powerful Jewish extremist group with branches in every major city of Europe and America, and even with branches for Jews in faraway cities such as Beijing and New Delhi. Here are two excerpts from their website on the menorah erections around the world. Quote, Chabad Lubavitch sponsored menorah at the Kremlin. Public menorah lightings were initiated and prompted by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Schneerson of Righteous Memory. Today, more than 10,000 public squares around the world are illuminated by menorahs placed by Chabad Lubavitch. And that's from giant menorah lit in front of the Kremlin from the Chabad Lubavitch website. And it goes on, he says, in a tradition started by the Lubavitcher Rebbe to publicize and popularize the Festival of Lights, Chabad has brought the menorah to be lit in the White House, the Kremlin, the Brandenburg Gate, in Iraq, embassies, consulates, state houses, college campuses, army bases, ball games, shopping malls, and more. And that article is from Chabad to Light Menorah in Polish Parliament, again from the Chabad website. Another quotation is, quote, Chabad Lubavitch sponsored a huge menorah in Zagreb, that's Zagreb, Croatia, with Chabad claiming that Croatia can't enter the EU unless Croatia builds a huge synagogue. That's an interesting claim, isn't it? Of course, no Christian organization can claim to have put special holiday crosses in thousands of public squares, as most of these nations would forbid any overt Christian symbols on their public ground. Yet strangely, Jewish supremacist symbols not only permitted, they are approved and celebrated by the top political leaders of European nations. And the question is why? The answer to that question will lead to answers of many other questions that challenge us. Let's take a glimpse into the Chabad Lubavitch movement, which has an inside track to most political leaders in the European world, the same organizations that put up the menorahs that are clearly illegal in most countries. The New Republic magazine, in a May 4, 1992 article, revealed the hateful anti-Gentile nature of Chabad Lubavitch. Quote, there are some powerful ironies in Chabad's new messianic universalism in its mission to the Gentiles, and surely the most unpleasant of them concerns Chabad's otherwise undisguised and even racial contempt for the Goyim. By the way, for those uninitiated, the Goyim is the non-Jews. That's us. Moreover, this characterization of Gentiles as being inherently evil as being spiritually as well as biologically inferior to Jews has not in any way been revised in later Chabad writing. That's from the New Republic, pretty mainstream publication. Chabad and other extremist Orthodox rabbis frequently author columns in the largest Jewish newspaper in the United States, and it's called Jewish Week. In this paper, you find the supremacist attitudes that any decent human being would call horrific. Now, listen to the following quote. Gentile souls are of a completely different and inferior order. They are totally evil, with no redeeming qualities whatsoever. If every simple cell in a Jewish body entails divinity, is a part of God, then every strand of DNA is a part of God. Therefore, something is special about Jewish DNA. And the author of these comments, Chabad Lubavitch Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg, who is also one of the leading rabbis of that organization and one of the people in charge of their mysticism, he goes on to say, and I quote him directly, "If a Jew needs a liver, can you take the liver of an innocent non-Jew passing by to save him?" He answers, "The Torah would probably permit that. Jewish life has an infinite value," he explained. "There is something infinitely more holy and unique about Jewish life than non-Jewish life." This statement was made by a leading Lubavitch rabbi named Yitzhak Ginsburg, and it can be found in the April 26, 1996 edition of Jewish Week. Many Christians would doubt the authenticity of the quote simply because they could not believe any religious leader would actually say that it would be moral for a Jew to kill a Gentile and take his liver. In many of my lectures, I bring home the horror of what Rabbi Ginsburg said by pointing out to the non-Jews in the audience that he argues that Jews have the moral right to murder your mother or father, son or daughter, husband or wife, to provide a liver for a Jew. The evil of such a statement is simply beyond the comprehension of most of us, but again, this statement was made in the largest, most popular Jewish publication in the United States. And the same organization of which Mr. Ginsburg or Rabbi Ginsburg is a part is the same organization sponsoring the illegal menorahs in front of the White House and many other cities. For simply quoting Ginsburg and exposing Jewish supremacism in my writings and lectures, I've been condemned as a hater, an anti-Semite, and a bigot. And I must endure this treatment by the media, while Ginsburg himself has received hardly a whiff of criticism. His statement was not one of a lone extremist Jew off somewhere in the remote desert of Israel. It was made by one of the honored leaders of a sect that actually has parties and confabs and conferences in the White House, and Chabad Lubavitch rabbis have even led the prayer of the United States cabinet meetings. As far as Hanukkah is concerned, and that's the celebration that's honored by the menorah at the White House, let me quote to you from a typical Jewish accounting of it. I take this quote from Zippel, the Jewish supersite. Here are some excerpts. That's not to say that Hanukkah isn't important. After all, the eight-day holiday celebrates the Jewish military victory against the Syrians. Underlying Hanukkah is a theme just as central today as it was 2,000 years ago, the fight against assimilation. Today, just as then, Jews are well accepted. The Maccabees revolted not only against the ruling Syrians, but against the prevailing Jewish practice of Hellenization. Unquote. You see, Jewish writers define the Hanukkah celebration as one to encourage resistance to assimilation among Gentiles. Now, that's a battle they see as vital today as the one that went on 2,000 years ago. The word Hellenization could be interchangeable with the word Americanization. You see, everyone else in the world that comes to America is supposed to, quote, be Americanized. Everyone, of course, except the Jews. For them, we are supposed to say, isn't it great they want to maintain their separateness and not merge into the great melting of races and creeds in America? Any Gentile who would dare to say that Jews want to remain separate and not truly assimilate into American culture would be labeled an anti-Semite. And if that's true, I guess almost every Jewish organization is, quote, anti-Semitic, because all of them preach against intermarriage and assimilation. The fact of the matter is that Hanukkah is an extremely ethnophobic celebration of a Jewish military victory and massacre of the pro-Greek Syrians. While 1 billion Christians celebrate peace on earth, goodwill toward men, the Hanukkah celebration celebrates annihilation of Jewish enemies and a resistance to mixing and a resistance to toleration of different peoples. I am not exaggerating in the least bit. Most of the Jewish holidays are celebrations of massacres of their enemies. And it seems odd, doesn't it, for a religion to revere military victories as their most sacred times of the year. In fact, the meaning given to Hanukkah by almost all Jewish leaders and scholars is that Hanukkah symbolizes the resistance of the assimilation of the Jewish people, religion, and culture. Now, that in itself is not so bad. All people who want to maintain their traditions, culture, and even the heritage of their children should resist assimilation. However, the same rules that are not supposed to apply to people of European descent, Jewish supremacists in recognizing Hanukkah promote the idea that Jews need to keep themselves pure and non-assimilated, and there's no problem. We Europeans are supposed to have our people and culture become assimilated and subsumed by every race on earth. But they are supposed to resist assimilation at all costs. Anyone who can think well enough to recognize this hypocrisy should realize the implications of this hypocrisy in the extremist Jewish power wielded in media and politics. Why is this hypocrisy never exposed in our supposedly free media? And why is exposing Jewish intolerance, supremacism, and racial hatred considered in itself intolerant? In America, to expose, and the world, to expose Jewish intolerance, to expose Jewish hatred, to expose Jewish supremacism is called hatred and supremacism. Ironic, isn't it? What's so incredibly hypocritical about the whole thing is that the same media that lauds assimilation and diversity for European Americans has no problem with Jews resisting assimilation in the countries in which they dwell. Of course, that's because, once again, the media is dominated by the same group that celebrates Hanukkah. Most of the Jewish groups promoting Hanukkah do so as a lesson to vigorously condemn intermarriage between Jews and Gentiles. Imagine for a moment if there was a White House ceremony that symbolized white rejection of assimilation and multiculturalism and condemned intermarriage of whites with Jews. How do you think the media would react? Do you think the media would be silent? Or how about if Bush welcomed to the White House a Gentile equivalent of the Jewish extremists called Israel Identity, and they had a religious ceremony celebrating opposition to Jews and opposition to mixing and assimilating with them? Every major Jewish organization in the world has programs dedicated to preventing intermarriage of Jews and non-Jews. But how often are they compared to those organizations of whites who oppose intermarriage? How many times have you seen Hollywood stereotypes of the evil white Southerner opposed to race mixing? How many times have you seen Jewish supremacism condemned by the media? How many of you listening to this broadcast or reading this know that by law in Israel, Jews and non-Jews cannot marry? Has the media proposed stopping aid to Israel as long as this continues? How many times has the media dared to compare those Israeli laws to the old anti-intermarriage laws in most of the American states? How are these double standards maintained without an outcry? In truth, the double standards that we witness every day in our nation reveal the extent of Jewish power and influence over our government, our media, and our culture. How can the government of the United States forbid Christian crosses but put up Jewish religious symbols of supremacism and hate? The answer to all these questions is quite evident. The government and media of the United States are influenced mightily by the same Jewish extremists who exercise these double standards. We here at DavidDuke.com are committed to telling the truth on this vital subject, no matter what the political or the personal cost. For more information on this subject, you can read an in-depth analysis of Jewish supremacism and its role in so many aspects of our society and culture, politics, wars, etc., in my book, Jewish Supremacism, a book that's primarily composed of very powerful quotes from Jewish sources, such as the quote I gave you of Yitzhak Ginsburg from Jewish Week. This book is a vital book of awakening on the Jewish subject. And the book that's probably its father is, of course, My Awakening, which contains an incredible amount of research on both the racial subject, racial history, heritage, culture, and the Jewish question, and with an autobiography of my struggles on these issues in politics and in learning about these issues in my life. It's a great introduction to people about the Jewish question and the race issue, and at the same time, it's a fantastic book for those who are already aware somewhat of these issues, in that it gives you the documentation, the ideas, and the powerful arguments to use with your friends and family. We've been struggling to raise the money to reprint this book, and I hope that everyone listening to this broadcast recognizes that we have only 8 days left, only 8 days left of our fundraising appeal to raise the money for the reprint of My Awakening. We must complete this appeal in the middle of December. I would appreciate everyone listening who understands the importance of these issues, the importance of these ideas, and the fact that we need DavidDuke.com and we need My Awakening and Jewish Supremacism to help educate our people on these issues. I hope everyone listening will take a moment and go to my website, DavidDuke.com, go to the How You Can Help button, and click on a very generous contribution. It is Christmas time. It's a time of year that we give gifts. Unfortunately, this time of year, most people forget about the day-to-day struggle of our people for our heritage and freedom, and our contributions drop very significantly. I hope all of you will realize that a gift in this matter toward the reprinting of My Awakening and toward our work here at DavidDuke.com is perhaps one of the most meaningful presents you can give to those whom you love, because we are fighting for the preservation and freedom of yourself and all those whom you care about, and for the generations to come. Thanks so much for being with me. I hope to be with you again, and I hope that you really take these articles on DavidDuke.com and spread them throughout the entire internet, mentioning them in every chat room you can find, make copies of them, send them to your friends. This is powerful material. If you want an issue that will wake people up as to the extent and the vileness of Jewish extremism and the extent of their power in media, this is your issue. Thanks so much for being with me. I look forward to being with you again over the next few days. Bye-bye now.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio Broadcast.